Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. Today we're recording live from Barcelona at Mobile World Congress, and I'm delighted to be joined by Gary Davis, Chief Consumer Security Evangelist, Vice President, Global Consumer Marketing at Intel Security. Welcome, Gary.
Thanks for having me.
So, Gary, I think you might have the longest title of anyone I've interviewed this week, but why don't you tell us a little bit about what it means to be the Chief Consumer Security Evangelist VP for Global Consumer Marketing?
Well, you're right. It's a very long title, and I typically only go with the Chief Consumer Security Evangelist because that's the thing that I spend most of my time doing. It's really the greatest job on the planet, I think. I get to keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on in our space, you know, what's affecting consumers, what's driving some of our thinking around the threat landscape. And then I get to help influence the products we build, take those insights and help us build better products, more compelling products. But equally important, I get to go out and meet with the media and the industry. In fact, I've been doing a lot of speaking engagements, specifically talking about the intersection of the connected self or wearables and security, because it's such a fascinating topic right now.
So I heard a huge announcement that you guys made around security and wearables at Mobile World Congress. And I want to get into what we think about this in general, but can you just tell us about the announcement?
Sure. There's a couple announcements that really touched the wearable space. One was our partnership with LG. Last year, LG started shipping our software on all their new phones. And this year, they're actually shipping our software on their new wearable device. Mm-hmm. So that's going to allow them to do stuff like locate and lock the device if it's lost or stolen, and just provide some basic security controls for that consumer. We also announced, actually, we are advancing the notion of TrueKey. And what makes TrueKey interesting, it uses multi-factor authentication to allow consumers to easily access their device and then go through their online services. And ultimately, wearables are going to be a key part of that. Being able to know that your wearable or your smartphone is within a certain range of your PC or other device are going to be a key means of authenticating a consumer in such a way that's very simple and they don't have to give it any thought. Because despite our best efforts, consumers have always struggled with using complex passwords, changing their passwords often. So if we can come up with something that's simple and intuitive, and the consumer doesn't have to give any thought, it just works, and it provides a safe environment, we think that's going to be what's the catalyst for a big change in the industry.
Wearables have obviously been a big conversation in the tech industry for the last couple of years. But I haven't heard recent statistics about, you know, how they're growing and if they're just a tech fringe thing still with glasses and things like that. Or where do we see the market growing and how big is this going to get by the end of the decade?
By the end of the decade, I saw an estimate by ABI that suggests there's going to be 780 million just wearable devices.
Wow.
The three biggest categories are going to be smartwatches, medical wearable devices, and fitness devices. You know, a little bit smaller is wearable clothing, smart glasses, and things like that. But the big three drivers in that market are going to be watches, medical wearables, and fitness devices.
I think that the consumer base doesn't really think about those in terms of security threats. My fitness device is something that I wear to count my steps and, you know what my heart rate is, but I don't really think about it as something that somebody bad could access. Can you tell me where we see the potential threats coming from?
The threat, at least at this point, is really not going to go at the wearable itself. Mostly because in most cases it uses either NFC or Bluetooth to communicate with a smartphone. What we believe is happening is that the bad actors are going after the information that's going on the smartphone because that's where all the data is being aggregated. Mm-hmm. So they're taking this fitness information, they're taking information, your date of birth, you know, other data that's of value, and that's what they're using to do things like identity theft, insurance fraud, and things like that. An interesting data point is that today, the value of that information in that form, your date of birth, certain preferences, your health data, is worth 10 times that of a credit card. A credit card on the black market is worth a buck or two. You can get $10 to $20 for the identity that helps, just because identity theft is much harder to change because it stays with you forever.
And when you think about the phone as being an access point, what do you think the awareness is in terms of the populace about the fact that their phone is a place that they need to be protecting?
That's, I think, our biggest struggle right now is consumers look at that smartphone, even though it's a highly functional computer they use for, you know, going online, doing banking, doing online commerce and everything else, they look at it as a phone. So at the core essence, they use it to make phone calls. Until they grasp the true use case of that phone and what they're using it for, we're going to continue to struggle here. In fact, a couple of years ago, we did some research and we asked consumers, 5,000 consumers, what's the value of the stuff on your phone, the data on your phone, work product, username, passwords, all that sort of stuff. And the global number was $36,000. So even though consumers place a really high value on that data, they really aren't taking the steps to really lock it down. For example, only 60% use a PIN, 30 don't. Very few use lock and locate. Only 14% install any type of third-party security to help protect that device. So even though these devices are used in very rich environments for hackers, you know, coffee shops and places like that, they're really not thinking about some of the security controls that should be in place.
So you talked about some of the things that folks are doing in terms of swiping those phones for data access. Are they doing anything else nefarious in terms of getting access to those people's phones?
Oh, you name it, they're doing it. Everything from stalking to conducting man-in-the-middle attacks. For example, we've seen, two of the most popular Trojans in financial services are Zeus and SpyEye. Both have been refactored to be optimized for a mobile device. The way that the banking goes on a phone is you'll start the transaction, the bank will send you a transaction PIN, you'll enter that PIN to validate you are who you say you are. Well, the Trojans understand that now and they'll intercept the PIN and they'll take over the transaction as well. So there is no thing that's being unexplored by the bad actors.
From a broader strategy perspective, where do we see the end game in terms of security for Internet of Things, both wearables and other devices that are being deployed at the volumes that blow the mind?
A couple things. First of all, we've got to get more and more security at the chip level. There's so many opportunities to embed your richer security features into the chip. And when you're talking about the type of capacity that exists on a wearable, that's where it really needs to be, because installing software is just something that's going to be too difficult. Plus, when you think about a wearable or other in-home device, it's hard enough to convince a consumer to apply a patch to their phone. It's going to be almost impossible to think, well, how do I apply that patch to my thermostat? How do I apply it to my wearable? So we need to have security built in at a much lower level. And then we need to work with the device manufacturers to make sure they're building security out of the gate. For example, HP recently did some research and they looked at the top 10 devices deployed in the home. On average, they had 25 vulnerabilities. And it was the stuff that a security practitioner would say, what are you thinking? They weren't requiring encrypted communications. They weren't requiring a password reset. They were sending data in clear text. So the simple things that we in the security industry know that you shouldn't do, they do. And they're doing it because they want to get the product to market. They want to be convenient. But when you're doing that, you're really opening up a Pandora's box for somebody with malicious intent. So getting out in front of the device manufacturers and say, you should not bring a device to market until you take these basic security controls into account and make sure they're part of that roadmap.
Well, and I think that we've seen in the news that those types of breaches can not only affect the consumer, they can affect the reputation of the device manufacturer as well.
Yeah. Foscam is a great example. They were hacked up right there, a baby monitor that basically when they put their product out there, it was an open IP address, didn't require password reset. So anybody could basically go to that IP address, take control of the camera, talk to the baby, move the camera around, very invasive. And that gets out in the public domain and it greatly affects the reputation of the device manufacturer. And for that matter, it affects the entire state of the industry because people hear about that. So they get concerned about other devices that could be compromised just because they hear about that worst case scenario. And then, oh my God, what other things could be exploited or exposed in this type of format?
So you've given us some good ideas about what Intel needs to do, what the device manufacturers need to do. What would you say to consumers today about things that they can take action on right now in terms of ensuring that they're utilizing their devices in a secure manner?
Sure. A couple things. First of all, install security software. It's free. It's ubiquitous. Put it on there. Use it. It's going to do more than just protect against malware. It's going to scan for permissions. For example, when you download an app, if you're downloading a flashlight app and it's asking for access to your contacts and all this other stuff, chances are there's something bad that's going to happen. So do that. Apply patches and updates. When you get prompted by either iTunes or Google Play that you have updates, apply them, because not only do they have typically new features, and a lot of times they have new security controls as well. They're just making it more secure. Enable a PIN. Put a password on the device. Use biometrics. Use TrueKey. Use multiple factors to make sure that only you have access to that device. Make sure that you're encrypting the device, right? All devices now come with full encryption. The worst thing you want to have happen is somebody get your device, plug it into a USB, and then it just becomes a drive that they have unfettered access to. So here are just a couple simple things that, again, they aren't going to cost any money, and they're going to make the consumer's likelihood of something bad happening greatly diminish.
Well, Gary, you guys are doing some very important work. Obviously, obviously, new technology doesn't move forward unless it can be used in a trusted manner. If you wanted to send folks to one place to find out more about what the Intel Security Organization is doing in the space, where would you send them?
I would send them to home.mcafee.com. We have a lot of resources. We have a lot of blogging we do. For example, whenever there's a major breach or there's a major security threat that we need consumers to be aware of, that's the platform we use to educate. I would send them to intelsecurity.com. We're putting a lot more information there that points to both the consumer need and the enterprise need. So those would be the two primary domains and places we would start consumers or businesses and then put them into the path of getting more informed. And then you know, follow people like me on Twitter. My whole handle is tied to this type of information. What's going on in IoT? What's going on in security? It's Geary J. Davis, and I would encourage anybody to just follow me because we're going to be putting out a lot of information I think will be of great benefit to consumers.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for your time today. I know your week at Mobile World Congress is busy. Thanks for spending the half hour with us.
Thanks, Allison. Appreciate the time.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.